Today on the Pastor Study, the title of our Bible lesson today is Never Do This. Never Do This. We're going to begin in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 6. So please turn to Genesis chapter 3 verse 6 with me. And the word of God has this to say, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And now let's turn over to 1 Timothy with me, chapter 2 and verse 14. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, the word of God says, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So today we're going to look at things that we should never do. We should never do these things. The first one we want to look at is never force your husband to choose between you and God. Never force your husband to choose between you and God. You see, Eve disobeyed the Lord, so she was going to die. Adam had to choose whether to go with God without her, or to follow her disobedience. The outcome of his decision wasn't going to be good either way. When you force a decision like this, your husband will have to disobey God to please you. Or, if he chooses to obey God, you could be left out in the cold, amen? For instance, God leads a man to a particular church. After a time, his wife says, I'm never going back to that church. Well, if he continues to obey God, he'll be going to the church without her. And if he decides to look for another church, he will be out of the will of God. So we see here the wife. She forced the issue. So never force your husband to choose between you and God. Again, we're looking at never do these things. Amen. The second thing we want to look at is never lead your family away from the promises and blessings of God. Never lead your family away from the promises and blessings of God. Now, I want us to turn to Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis chapter 12 with me, if you would, we're going to look at verses beginning in verse 6, and we'll read down to verse 13. Genesis 12, verse 6. And Abram passed through the land under the place of Shechem, under the plain of Moreh. And a Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and he called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see this, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, and they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. So we see here, Abram kept journeying south after God had promised to give his seed the land of Canaan. When the famine came, he just kept going south down into Egypt and away from God. So he had to convince Sarai to lie for him to protect his life. In other words, he wasn't in a place where he thought he could trust God to protect him. And sure enough, his wife ended up in Pharaoh's house. Of course, Abram could justify his decision because the outcome was so lucrative. Amen. Look in Genesis 12. Verse 16, and he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen and he asses and men servants and maid servants, she asses and camels. So we see here that Pharaoh entreated Abram well. Then looking in Genesis chapter 13, verse 2. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. He could have stayed in Canaan and barely gotten by, or he could have chased wealth down in Egypt while putting his family in jeopardy. Amen? By putting his family in jeopardy, by chasing that wealth down in Egypt. Now, do you realize that Abram and Sarai wouldn't have had the means to make the choice they did? In Genesis 16, verses 1 to 3, if they hadn't made that trip down to Egypt. Looking in Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 to 3. As a result of them going down into Egypt, they made this decision. Genesis 16, verses 1 to 3. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Now, where do you think they got Hagar when they made that side trip down to Egypt? And Sarai said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid, and it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. See? This wouldn't have happened if they stayed where God told them to be. We have another example. Look what happened to Elimelech when he led his family out of Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread and praise, into Moab during a famine. We see that both he and both his sons died there. Turn with me, if you would, over to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth, if you would, with me. And once we get to Ruth, we want to look at verses 3 to 5. Ruth chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. We're in Ruth chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 3 to 5 together. And the Word of God has this to say. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, the name of the other was Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died after both of them, also both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. So we see now what happens. What happened? We see because they left Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread, which means the house of bread and praise, they went into Moab during a famine. So we see that Naomi's husband and her two sons, they died there. Well, you may have a tendency to say, yeah, but look how well things turned out for Ruth. Well, that happened only because her mother-in-law got back to the place of blessing, and they both followed God. And under those conditions, amen, God can make a winner out of any washout, amen? So you better stay put. When God has you in the place of his provision, blessing, and protection, you have no idea the trouble that awaits you when you get out from under his shadow. Again, reminding the listeners, our Bible lesson today is never do this. We saw number one, never force your husband to choose between you and God. Number two, never lead your family away from the promises and blessings of God. And we're going to look at number three now. Never choose your fortune over your family. Never choose your fortune over your family. Now, we got to go back to the book of Genesis in chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13 with me. And in Genesis chapter 13, we're going to look at verses 10 through 13. The Word of God says this. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. So what we see here now is we're looking at never choose your fortune over your family. Lot chose the plain of Jordan near Sodom and Gomorrah, despite knowing that the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now, Lot, he was a just and righteous man. Amen. And how do we know that? Well, when you go into the book, if you go over to the book of 2 Peter with me, in 2 Peter chapter 2, in verses 6 through 9, the Word of God says this: in turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. Now listen to this. In delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that, here it is, for that righteous man, referring to Lot, dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. So we see here Lot. He was a just and righteous man who thought he could dwell among them without adversely affecting his life and his family. A preacher once said, Lot lost power gaining influence. Lot lost power gaining influence. Another preacher said, Lot gained fame with men and lost favor with God. Lot gained fame with men and lost favor with God. Now, By the time the Lord showed up to destroy Sodom, we see him sitting, Lot sat in the gate, which was a prominent position to have, sitting in the gate. He was in a position of honor among these sinners. Amen. Let's look at the book of Proverbs for a moment. The book of Proverbs, if you would. And when we get to Proverbs, we want to look at chapter 31 of Proverbs, verse 23. It says, "Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land." So here we see he is in a position of honor to sit in the gate there. Now, when the men of the city came to the house to know the men who were staying with him, back in Genesis 19, amen, Genesis 19 with me, and in Genesis chapter 19, we want to look first at verse 5, which says this, "And they called on the Lord and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them." Amen. Know them. They were perverts. They were sodomites. They wanted to have sex with the men. Men among men, these perverts. And then when they came, he called them. Notice what Lot calls these men that came to know the men that were in his house. He calls them brethren. He calls them brethren. See, in verse 7. And he said, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly." Amen. Now, when they wouldn't turn away, these wicked men, when they wouldn't turn away, what does Lot do? He offered them his virgin daughters to satisfy their lusts. Incredible, isn't it? Look at in verse 8 of chapter 19. He says, "Behold, now I have two daughters, which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do you to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." You see, Lot's fortune was more important to him than his family. And sadly, yes, sadly, my dear listeners, by the time this sad story comes to a close, his married daughters, along with his son-in-laws, are dead. His wife is dead. His virgin daughters commit incest with him. And his fortune has gone up in smoke. You better carefully consider every decision you make concerning your family. You better be absolutely certain that your motive is faithful and not just financial. That it's familial and not just personal. That it's godly and not worldly. You see, my dear listeners, we tell ourselves that we're going to provide our children with a better life, which we hope to provide with money rather than faith. My dear listeners, you don't need nearly as much money as you do faith when it comes to rearing your children for the Lord. Notice what it says with me over in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, if you would, chapter 1, verse 5. And here we have Paul writing to Timothy. And notice what he says to Timothy. "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee." Timothy was a man of great faith, not a faker. He had genuine faith. He says, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois. Where did he get this faith? Well, he learned it from his grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And I persuaded that in thee also. See, his grandmother and his mother made some right decisions. They were women, great women of faith. And Timothy saw that growing up. And that's part of the reason he came to know the Lord and to develop great faith, because of the right decisions that his grandmother and mother made. Now, when we enroll our children in schools without considering what evils they may be exposed to that will challenge and undo all they have learned in the Bible. We enroll children in programs and sports activities that conflict with church meeting times and activities. We allow children to date those who have little to no concern from the things of Almighty God. And we let them start way too early, long before they have developed the foundation upon which to build a good marriage, and so forth and so on. And we think these things are good and acceptable without ever considering what God has to say about them. Amen. So now we want to look at things we should never do this. The next one is, never do what you don't want your children to do. Again, never do what you don't want your children to do. Look in Genesis chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abram said of Sarai, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. See? Now that we looked at Genesis 21 and 2, now let us look at, go forward to chapter 26. Amen. In verses 1 through 7. And there was a famine in the land, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell of thee. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, she is my sister. For he feared to say, she is my wife, lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. Son like father, father like son. God had promised Abraham that his seed, speaking of Isaac, would inherit all of the land. And Isaac wasn't even born yet. Nevertheless, Abram thought he and Sarai had to lie, or he and Sarah had to lie about their marriage in order to protect his life. God had intervened to keep Sarah from getting pregnant by Abimelech. Now, years later, that was in Genesis 20, years later, going forward, when Isaac was moving away from a famine, God promised him that he and his seed would be blessed, and that he and his seed would be given all these countries. We just read it, did we not? It says in Genesis 26:3, sojourn in the land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. What happened? But rather than trust God's promise, what did Isaac do? He took matters into his own hands and did exactly what his father had done. What did he do? He lied about his wife. We read it in verse 7 of Genesis 26. And the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, she is my sister. For he feared to say, she is my wife, lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. See? Now read in Genesis 26, verses 8 to 10. And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, of a surety, she is thy wife, and how sayest thou, she is my sister? And Isaac said unto him, because I said, lest I die for her. And Abimelech said, what is this thou hast done unto us? One of the people might lightly have leaned with thy wife, and thou shouldst have brought guiltiness upon us. He thought his lie would protect him just like his father did. Jacob deceived his father by goatskins and Esau's clothing. And his own children deceived him by dipping Joseph's coat in goat's blood to pretend that he was dead. The thing you need to see is your children learn from you. Amen. Your children pick up on your faith and your priorities. They watch you. And they will do what they see more than what you tell them to do. So if you don't want them to do something that you're doing or thinking about doing, then quit or don't do it. And make it clear to them why you've made this decision. Amen. So we want to see, we are all ultimately and individually responsible for our decisions, are we not? However, these few guidelines will certainly make some of the choices simpler. And remember now, as you read through the Bible, you will find other such guidelines and principles to help you make the right decisions for you and your family. So all I can say, dear listener, is find them, and follow them. Amen. Well, that's about all the time that we have today on the Pastor Study. I pray that this lesson and all the lessons each time you turn in are a blessing to you, are an encouragement to you, will help you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you'll join me next time, Brother Gino, as we come again, once again, on the Pastor Study. And my prayer for each and every one of you listening today is that God would richly bless each and every one of you. And good day.